upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, we're here. We're here. And man, it's such a shame we don't have a video because the fact we're wearing our masks is actually kind of crazy right now.
Yes, MF Doom tribute.
Mm-hmm. Wait, why are we talking about MF Doom? Because this episode is really about the OG, the one, the only Victor Von Doom.
Yes, yes, indeed. So I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meechie Meets presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
All right, so this is episode 99 of the Blurred City Podcast, something we're celebrating. So we're going to hit the episode 100 next week when we get into our Darth Vader character study review. But this week we are going into our mass character study, which will kind of detail for the next 3 weeks why we chose this, why we chose the characters that we did get into. But this today, if you're seeing the title, seeing the thumbnail, we're getting into Dr. Doom, one of the most popular, one of the most evil, villainous, powerful villains in all of just like comic book history. Rated in top five in like a lot of just like kind of countdowns and stuff like that. So we're going to break down kind of just like his origin stories, you know, his development. Not really too much on the movie side. We're going to say a lot in the comics. So some of this might be new to a lot of people, but then me just going to go in depth with that. I'm going to give perspective on my relation to Doom just because like I'm not too familiar with him from the comic side of it. So we're just going to kind of break that down for everybody to get into. But before we get into that, let's hit you with the legal spiegel.
All right. The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, Doom, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agenda. All belongs to Doom. Your discretion is advised. Belongs to Doom.
All right. So do you kind of want to touch into like why we kind of outlined the three characters that we're going to go into this month and then just like the theme also of the character study series for that?
Absolutely. So the three characters that we have in terms of our study, our little character study series, are, as we see in this episode, Dr. Doom, we have Darth Vader, and then you have Toby, aka Obito Uchiha. Now, the reasoning we chose these three characters is actually for a simple theme. One is, of course, capitalizing on the fact that Robert Downey Jr. is going to be portraying Dr. Doom in Avengers Doomsday, but also is the fact that all three characters are tied under the same theme, which are villains who somewhat have a like who have like a fall from grace type of deal, and they are some of the most evil people on this earth who have kind of like this goal of good, and they all happen to wear masks. And to the point where the three characters we chose are all based upon each other, with the exception of Doom, because Doom came first in the 60s. Of course, Darth Vader came out in the 70s, and then Obito in the 2010s. So, like, you know, like late 2000s, early 2010s, whatever.
Yes.
But yeah, so like these three characters, like, of course, like Obito is based off a bit off of Darth Vader's story, and Darth Vader's story is has some connections to Dr. Doom, especially in terms of design. And so you see the through line there, and we're just gonna go and pluck that through line.
All right. So with that, our obviously, in-depth character study. We have our case, Victor Von Doom, Dr. Doom, depending on the comic or just like storyline, also just Doom, Monarch of Latveria. So we can just kind of get into it. I mean, his powers are kind of, it depends on what storyline we're telling to you. Sometimes he's just like a basic villain and sometimes he's like all powerful. So that's definitely very interesting to jump into with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like he's very compelling as a villain in terms of power because of the fact he has his hands in literally every kind of power set you can think of. So of course he has, you know, a suit of armor, you know, with the whole strength, force fields, flight, you know, bean bang bong, repulsors, any blast, like all that good jazz, right? But then it also combats, like, he's good at hand-to-hand combat. He's super smart. He's like one of the smartest characters in the Marvel Universe, only rivaled by the likes of Reed Richards and Black Panther. Don't let Doom say that he rivals him. No, he's far superior. And also is just the fact he has magic too. Like, yep. you think like with certain characters, it's either they go full technology or go fully magic. This man said, nah, I'm both, and I do it with such proficiency too.
And he has the ability to time travel, which is also crazy to think about. So before we get into his like backstory, what's kind of like your relation to Doom and also just kind of like your mindset on Doom himself as a character and villain?
So for me, right, growing up, like, I really did not care about Dr. Doom. Like, I just saw him as just your basic, no, mustache twirling villain coming up with schemes for world domination and whatnot. So like, I really paid Dr. Doom like zero mind throughout like childhood and even like most of my adulthood. Like, I in my nerddom was like, oh, Dr. Doom showed up, cool. Like in fact, I think like my first true exposure to Dr. Doom was Marvel's Ultimate Alliance, the video game, you know, from PS2 era, and he was like the main bad guy of that. So like, I was like, oh, cool, who's Dr. Doom? And then, of course, you know, watching Spider-Man the anime series, he made like an appearance there and whatnot, and he just kept popping up in different places. He's like, bro. And of course, like, when we got the announcement, like, oh yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is returning to the MCU as Victor Von Doom, I'm like, whoa, hold on. This man playing Doom? Now, hold on. Let me do my research on Doom real quick. Let me do my research. And I'm like, oh, this is deep. Oh, he a deep villain. Oh, I'm sorry, Doom. I disrespected your gangster. My bad.
Yeah, I think for me with Doom, it's really interesting. I think he's like the Joker of the Fantastic Four in the sense of like, he's literally synonymous with the Fantastic Four. It's hard to like not think of them and not immediately think of Dr. Doom. And he's like one of the few Marvel villains that I would say is like that completely. Like, so with Spider-Man, you can name a lot of villains. Obviously, probably Green Goblin is the most synonymous one, but then you can also get into the bag of, yo, Doc Ock. We literally did a character study of the Superior Spider-Man. But then also when he pulled up in the No Way Home, that was absolutely incredible. That was the part that a lot of people were freaking out about in the trailer. And then we saw Green Goblin pull up later and just like steal the show. But Spider-Man has so many villains. Iron Man, you don't really have like one standout villain. But with Thor, you have Loki, but Loki is kind of an anti-hero now. And then just kind of you keep going down, Captain America, Red Skull, but even still, it's kind of like similar where it's like he can be like a lot of different people. So Doom is like one of the most like synonymous characters with a superhero subset, which I think is cool. But I'm similar with you where it's just kind of like the only time I've really seen him is in movies and then pop up time to time in TV shows. And the movies haven't done him like a great service to an extent. So it's just kind of like with the powers thing and like doing the research on this, I'm just like, oh, Doom is much more like powerful than like what he gives credit for. How does like the Fantastic Four keep stopping him? And the fact that we'll probably get into it a little bit more, but the fact that he can be like a quote unquote street level villain and then like a mold.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Multiversal villain to an Avengers level threat and like cosmic type villain is very like also believable, which is the crazy part.
Absolutely. Like he transcends and that's part of the goal is like, hey, and part of his character is like, hey, he's always trying to up the power scale. And it's only natural that, okay, yes, he's still synonymous with the Fantastic Four. He's still synonymous with them at the end of the day, but he's like, he's not just synonymous with them. He's just the Marvel villain. Like the likes of Thanos type deal to the point where, again, he's now back as the main villain of the MCU right now, which goes to show like, yeah, this man plays so many hats. As I said, he plays so many hats. He's been on multiple shows. We can go down the list real quick. Like he's, again, been on different all the Spider-Man shows with the exception of Spectacular. And I think like the MTV one. Like, he's been in those shows. He's been, like, in Black Panther. He's been in Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which, again, that one's probably, like, the best incarnation of Doom, because he just shows up, does something crazy, and then says, all right, y'all need to leave. y'all need to leave now. And still pulls, and he just, you know, always calculating. And then, of course, like Ed said, like, Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, everything. Heck, he even been in X-Men. So yeah, that lets you know Doom is like he is the villain that goes in every single show. Like he can just you can put him in any of the Marvel superheroes and it just works.
So with that, let's get into the origin.
All right. So starting off with Dr. Doom, or should we say Victor Von Doom, born to a couple of gypsies. Which, as you guys know, like is more ethnic type people, and he and like his mother basically made a deal with the devil Mephisto to, and essentially like she gave up her soul, and so she's basically trapped in hell, and because you never take a deal with Mephisto because it's gonna do one of three things: either you're gonna become a Ghost Rider. Which I do not want to count on that, because the other two options are worse. You can have a one more day situation and have the entire fandom just turn against you, or your soul just literally goes to hell. Literally, those are your only options when dealing with Mephisto. I ain't gonna lie to you. So yeah, and from there, like Victor, he grows up. He's like, I want to free my mom from hell. And like throughout college, like he rooms with Reed Richards, and then they're both like, you know, they're both super smart, but Victor, and this is perhaps like his fatal flaw, is his pride and his ego, where he thinks like, hey, I am the actual best there is at what it needs to be done. Like, I'm smarter than you, Reed Richards. So, and then of course, like Reed Richards telling like, hey, yo, because he's building like a device to actually go to hell. He makes a device to in college to try to go to hell to free his mom's soul. And Reed Richards sounds like, hey, these calculations are off. And Victor's like, nah, this ain't off. Why you hating? Man, Reed, you an up for real. And he activates the machine, blows up in his face, and it leaves him with a scar on his face.
Now, I was doing research. Now, for this part, it was a Wikipedia research, but it says that Ben Grimm tinkered with the machine. Is that true?
Yeah. It stated that, like, Ben Grimm did, like, mess with it just a little bit, but supposedly it wasn't enough to, like, fully, you know, mess blow everything up. He just to blow the mess up.
Yes.
But still, it's like, Yeah, he has a hand in that, which is a part of the reason why he hates Ben too.
And I think we can like pause there with the terms of like, since we're connecting this, like this is going to connect to Darth Vader and then also Obito Uchiha, where it's just like, again, pride and then good intentions are like, he literally like, it's like good intentions are the pathway to hell, or the path to hell is
paved with good intentions.
Exactly. So with that, he literally was trying to create a path to hell with the good intentions of freeing his mom from Mephisto's grasp, and is just like, it literally blew up in his face and scarred him. But with that, you see as with like the other two as well, where it's like you take that failure of trying to do something good and it turns into a hatred that drives you moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that hatred was directed towards Reed Richards because he feels like, hey, him and Ben, they did something to mess me up. And now my perfect face, again, this is part of the pride, because he believed himself to be a perfect person. And when it blew up, he only got like just, you know, a scratch mark, like just a tiny scar on his face that's like, would be just, it'd be irregular to like a regular person. For him, it's like a life-altering, like life-destroying scar. He's like, oh Lord, I can't recover from this. And again, hatred towards Reed and Ben. So, and also because of that explosion, he gets expelled from college.
That makes sense.
So from there, he goes off to the mountains, goes to some Tibetan monks, learns magic, learns the way of the Force. Oh, sorry, wrong character. My bad. Wrong generation. So he learns their ways, and then they help build him an armor, the famous Dr. Doom armor. And here's the messed up part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they finish the mask, and he is in such a rush that before the hot iron mask cools, he then puts it on his face.
Ooh, melting it.
Yeah, completely destroying his face, and that's why he wears the mask in to be Dr. Doom, and thus Dr. Doom is born.
See, that's crazy, because, like, I didn't know that, because, like, obviously, like I mentioned with the movies, the only, like, you see two different origin stories. Obviously, the second one, we don't talk about the fan force stick. But with the first one, like, usually I think, okay, the accident where they go to space is how he gets his power, is how he gets the, like, messed up face to cause the math. And just, like, learning that, okay, he has this beforehand is the reason that he ends up wearing the mask. And then, like, even in, like, the cartoons, they don't really... The ones that he pops up in, it's like he's already an established character, so they don't like go through that backstory. But just like seeing again the birth of a villain arc, and it's, yeah, just absolutely insane. But also we gotta talk about was he first or was Batman first?
Wait, what? Oh, in terms of like who came out first?
Yes,
Batman.
Because what's with these rich dudes going to the mountains and being trained by monks?
You know, that's actually kind of crazy. Huh.
More parallels.
Well,
I mean, Dr. Strange was similar. I mean, it wasn't monks. But...
Well. Hey, hold on. Why are we making a trio about them three? It's like Batman, Doom, and Strange. The rich people who went through the mountains. Golly. But yeah, so... All right, so after he became Dr. Doom, he goes to his home of Latveria, kills the leader, and usurps control, and is now successfully the ruler of Latveria. And with unlimited resources at his disposal, that's when he decides to go on a generational hate run against the Fantastic Four. Because as soon as they come on the scene, he out here scheming, planning. He's sending his Doom bots out. And every time you think you killed Doom, it was just the Doom bot. Doom was out here back in his lair just scheming, plotting the next thing. He's like, oh, yeah, nah. Doom don't fail.
Mm-hmm.
Doom only goes to the next path. So, yeah. So, of course, like, because of that, he crossed paths with, like, many different... heroes. You know, he fights the Avengers, he fights Spider-Man, he fights, you know, Scarlet Witch, he fights Quicksilver, he fights Silver Surfer, he goes after literally everybody.
Yes, and then even then, I think we're going to get transition to that soon, but with the Beyonder and Battle World / Secret Wars.
Ooh, ooh, all right. Oh, yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that one. So the first big intercompany crossover event for Marvel, Secret Wars, where, of course, it's just the Beyonder. He's like, oh, yeah, here's two forces. The forces of good versus the forces of evil. Two guesses as to which where Dr. Doom ended up. And you just fight. And whoever wins at the end of the day, you get your heart's desires. Doom, as soon as he appears, he immediately takes control of all the villains. Even when Galactus is right there, he's like, all right, everybody, y'all under me now. Y'all under Big Doom. Big Doom, and Big Doom got big plans, right? So this person who brought us here, I can feel him out. I know that power. That power is crazy. So I'm gonna need that power. So of course he gets like the different villains to come together. He creates two new villains. Titania, is one of them. You know, wife of Absorbing Man. And then he's like, all right, I'm gonna get these powers. And then he manages to steal the powers of the Beyonder throughout the entire conflict. And you're just like, hey, yo.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets that, you know, he's a god now. So, you know, of course, first thing he does, fixes his face. Second thing he does, runs a generational run against every single superhero by, like, destroying them. But, of course, due to plot. And by plot means like basically he couldn't fully control the powers of the Beyonder to where whatever he imagined starts actually happening. So if somebody like legit like puts a seed in his head that like, oh yeah, all the superheroes are immune to his powers, and eventually like that ends up happening. So it's like he just relinquished. No. The Beyonder ends up taking all the powers back from Doom and then shunting him off back to the world.
All right, I know we're going to touch the other Secret Wars, but do you think that his role in it, like Doomsday, the one with Robert Downey Jr., will be closer to the 2015 one or to the OG Secret Wars?
So, well, obviously the 2015 one, that's going to be Avengers Secret Wars. That's going to be the one that comes out after Doomsday. Mm-hmm. I think Doomsday, like, it could be based on the OG version, though we're not fully sure as to like what Robert Downey Jr.'s version of Dr. Doom is. We don't know if it's actually a Victor Von Doom. We don't know if it's
a variant,
like a variant of Tony Stark that turned into Doom. Like, because depending on which way they're doing this determines what story arc we can potentially discuss on that train.
That makes sense. So let's get into his next storyline. Would this be like when we transition to the 2000s next?
Oh, no. We need to discuss probably like actually technically two of the most important arcs. First one is his battle with Iron Man, where in which it turns out like he travels back in time to learn magic from Morgan Le Fay from King Arthur's time. Yes, because in Marvel, like, King Arthur is a real person and magic is real in that time frame. And then the next time is what I like to call the generational run against Mephisto. Probably one of the greatest fades of all time, because in this, right, so he and Doctor Strange, they get selected for a competition which determines who gets to be Sorcerer Supreme. And again, because Doom is like sufficiently excellent with magic, he's basically also in the running. So essentially like him, Strange, and a bunch of fodder magicians basically ends up in a arena and they all fight each other. Well, and of course, as it says, it turns into basically Strange versus Doom.
Of all the ways to pick a sorcerer, let's just have him have a magic fight.
Yeah, well, it's not really a magic fight. It just turns into that because essentially they have to like go and find this certain magical object and then use magic to turn it into something else, which turns into a key that allows them to unlock the door to becoming Sorcerer Supreme. But of course, like, once somebody finds like the object, then it becomes an actual battle royale. So yeah, literally, that's why I just described it as just a straight up battle royale, because that's literally what it was. But essentially, like, because at the end of that, Strange ends up becoming Sorcerer Supreme, but because Doom was the second place and was like the last one standing besides Strange, he's now allowed to ask Strange to do one thing for him, and Strange could never refuse. And his plan is literally like, hey, Strange, you and me, we going to hell, we run in the fade with Mephisto, and we freeing my mom's soul. And literally that happens. Like, the two of them, well, actually, before that happens, Doom and Strange, they go back to Latveria, and we learn a lot of things about Doom and Latveria, where it turns out, like, he's actually a benevolent leader to the people of Latveria, to where, yeah, he may be a complete and total menace to the entire world, but to his people, he is good, to the point where children are like, Doom, they are his groupies, if you will. Like, they are out here glazing this man, like, bowing at his feet, like, in actual admiration and not out of, like, fear or subjugation or anything like that. Like, out of their own free will, they willingly follow Dr. Doom. It's kind of like Apocalypse, but...
That's fair.
But Doom's actually a good leader. And he, and yeah, so, like, he does that. And then also, it turns out, like, literally every year... since he got like his metal mask, every single year on like a certain day, on like certain day in the summer, is when he actually goes to hell, fights Mephisto to get his mother's soul free, and Doom loses out every time. So that's why this time around he has Strange go in there and help him with that, and essentially, like, it's just a battle between the three of them in hell, and at the end of it, Strange manages to trick Mephisto into freeing Doom's mother's soul, so she gets to pass on to heaven, and all in a way that makes it seem like Doom knew that was gonna happen in the entire time, and we never find out if he actually did know, because we never know, like, oh yeah, was this all in Doom's plan? But yeah, so yeah, that's the generational run. And now, so yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
I think that's absolutely crazy. Again, it shows, like, Doom isn't just like, oh, I fight someone that stretches, someone that is a rock monster, invisible girl, and then a fire person. It's like, you know, him being able to jump through dimensions, be able to hang with a Doctor Strange. I know, like, in later comics, he eventually does become Sorcerer Supreme. I don't know, you know, obviously with comics, what is canon, what isn't canon is always crazy, but... just like with that, so just like defeating Mephisto is something that we all dream of, especially after One More Day.
Mm-hmm. I want to run the fade just personally. Yeah, don't make me a spirit of vengeance, because then it's a generational run every day.
What's your vehicle if you're a spirit of vengeance?
Ooh, would it be crazy if I would it be crazy if I said a fire breathing dragon? Be like, what?
That would be dope.
Like, what up? I'm on a drag. I'll be just like Song Jin-woo.
Oh, they don't know that. Spoiler. People don't know that.
Oh, they don't know. My bad. They don't know. All right.
So next storyline.
Okay. All right. So next up with Doom is Doom Quest. Essentially, this is just a very simple story where he invades Wakanda. He fights against the Black Panther. Well, he fights against the Black Panther after essentially he manages to, like, usurp Wakanda, and he manages to break into the vibranium vault that stores all the vibranium. Mm-hmm. And in order to get through, like, one task, he eventually succeeds, where in which he manages to make his armor vibranium, so he got vibranium armor now, RIP. So... Again, Doom just too OP. But essentially, like, one of the tests is that the god Bast, the Black Panther god, like, has to, like, test the person's will and see if, like, he, like, see like what their intentions are,
mm-hmm.
and Bass can tell like when somebody's lying, because obviously he's a god. And what Bass sees is that Doom, literally, he believes that the world is broken, and the one person, the only person who is capable of bringing the world into a utopia, who is capable of bringing true world peace, is himself.
Mm.
He's the only one capable of being what you call the ruler and to be the sovereign of Earth.
Heal the world.
Yes, and literally he's the only one who he believes can actually do that.
Mm.
And Bass says, like, you know what? You spitting, and lets him pass. So yeah, it just gets more into Doom's character, just like how, yeah, I may be a villain, but I'm doing all of this for the long-term greater good.
Yeah, which I think is tough, because I think in a lot of storylines, especially like comics, it's like evil for the sake of being evil, or like, okay, we need a villain of the week. Somebody did this to you, so you have like a small beef or whatever, and we move forward. But just like in seeing that and then hearing that, where it's just like, okay, I'm a benevolent leader to my people, why won't the rest of the world fall in line? I have to get rid of these ants in order to, like, you know, lead my people forward. And just kind of just like the delusion that it possesses to have kind of just that narcissism, but at the same time fully believe it, you know, because like some people are like, oh, I want to like heal the world, I want to make it a better place, and then at the same time it's just like, I just want people to serve under me, which is what Doom kind of, and you know, save the world, as you said.
Yep. And it actually ends up getting explored in an Avengers story called Emperor Doom, in which he uses the Purple Man to essentially mind control the entire world. And from there, he's literally ruling the world, and the world is actually a utopia. Like, the world is actually a good place. Like, there's no crime. There's, like, nobody's living in fear or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue for Doom is the fact that he apparently, after, you know, becoming the ruler of the world, he's now bored.
It happened to him.
Yeah, he's now bored, and because of that, he kind of like subconsciously releases one of the heroes
mm-hmm.
from the mind control, so they can go and break the others out of mind control, so they can fight him, so he could actually like have some excitement in his life.
Dang. That makes me think of the Infinite Tsukiyomi, now that you mention it.
Mm.
Which is actually really crazy, the fact that we're connecting all three of these characters.
Mm. Yep, and Emperor Doom came out first.
So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's actually get into the 2000s, because this was like very late 90s. 2000s, essentially, at the very beginning, Susan Richards, right? She's pregnant with her second child, Valeria Richards. So her second child after Franklin. And unfortunately, Reed Richards was like off-world. Like, he was off-world doing some type of mission. Actually, I think this was during the time of the Illuminati, but I could be wrong. But essentially, from there, right, he's like, so Johnny Storm, of all people, contacts Dr. Doom. He's like, hey, I know we got beef, but we know, like, hey, you still have feelings for Susan, and she's about to give birth. Reed's not here, but here is your chance to do something Reed couldn't. Here's your chance to outdo Reed. And that, and he just hit, you know, it's just like the Goku button in Dragon Ball Z Abridged. It's like, you hit the Goku button, you shouldn't have did that. With Dr. Doom, it's like, hit the Reed button. And now he's immediately at the beck and call, like, all right, let's go. And he immediately, like, you know, helps Susan to give birth. And then he's like, oh yeah. And as soon as Reed gets back, he sees the daughter, he's like, hey, what's going on? It's like, hey, you wasn't here to help deliver your daughter, Reed. I, Big Doom, is out here doing what you couldn't. I was able to to get, let your wife give birth. I was able to save your child. And because of that, I get to name the child. And he names it Valeria, not after him, but after his first love, Valeria, who, he kind of,
went the way of Ren or Padme.
More like the way of Pat. Like he, well, actually it's even worse than that because he intentionally kills her.
He's
intentionally kills her in order to, you know, get access to Mephisto in hell. So,
yeah. So we see the sacrifices made for, you know, former lovers in each storyline. All of them took out, you know, lost someone that they loved that was close to them, that was kind of like, you know, asked for it for one reason or another, but kind of just like with that, which is crazy. Didn't he also like allow like Johnny to like flame off because he was like stuck in like flame on mode permanently?
Oh, that's way, way down the line. This is post Secret Wars. This is like present day type scenario. It's actually probably like the second to last story we're going to get into.
But like the reverse of what he did, because I know like what you told me last week, like he made it permanent, but like didn't he like flip it, like he put the energy Valeria?
Yes, he did all that at the same time.
So again, seeing how powerful he would do this.
Mm-hmm. In which speaking of, now we gotta talk about him going to hell and getting stuck there, where after another generational run against the Fantastic Four. Also, I gotta talk about how Valeria Richards, she calls Dr. Doom like Uncle Doom, and like she's probably like the only member of the Fantastic Four like he truly tolerates and cares about. Like some of the comic panels be hilarious. It'd be like Valeria be like, Uncle Doom, can we go get ice cream? And then he'd like in the middle of him like monologuing, he's like, we'll get ice cream later. like Doom will consider your request for ice cream. And it's like, hey, yo. Doom got a soft spot. That's crazy. But yeah, as another generational run against the Fantastic Four ends with like Reed killing Doom in order to like trap him in hell. And essentially like he's just stuck there until Mjolnir decides to get sent to hell too, and
of all the things. And then that switched up the canon, right?
Oh, well, it's more like
Secret Wars 2015.
So yeah, Secret Wars ended up erasing all that. It's like, yeah, no, we gonna just stop all that. So yeah, continuing on, we got the seed.
Kind of like with that. Before we move forward, we've already like touched on things where it's like we've seen him, if not be heroic, let's just say do good things that served his interest. Isn't necessarily pure evil destruction for the sake of it, but just kind of like with that, we saw helping Susan, even though it was for prideful reasons, taking out Mephisto. I know like in the 90s there was a storyline where like he sacrificed himself against Onslaught, right?
Well, it's less him who sacrificed himself against Onslaught. He just fought. Well, actually, he did kind of sacrifice himself, but, you know, Franklin Richards being
the most powerful being in existence.
And just have, there they are.
Oh, now that I think about it, do you think that they will have a Franklin Richards? Not like in the Fantastic Four that comes out next year, but since we already know they're going to be in the past, do you think they're, like, when they eventually come back, there's going to be a Franklin Richards, especially if it's going to be multiversal?
I actually do think so. You know, you gotta bring all the children in, and they typically do that by having a child character in there. So, hey, having Franklin Richards in there would definitely serve him.
All right, so Siege.
All right, so the Siege is where him and an entire cabal, essentially, like, they, like, he has a cabal of supervillains. It's kind of like the Illuminati, but evil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, more evil than the superhero version. And unfortunately, there's a situation where Norman Osborn decided to say, hey, it's my time to be big dog. And they used to work together, but it's like, nah, I'm about to go crazy. So essentially, like, he helps the main superheroes fight off against the Dark Avengers and all that good jazz. So yeah, literally it's just like him fighting against Dark Avengers and just showing how powerful he is, especially when the Marquis of Death shows up, which he ends up having taken Doom under his wing, and he gets like more powerful.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, he gets even more powerful than he ever was and comes back.
Nice.
So
canon reset.
Yep, now it's time for the resets, because throughout all this time, everything starts going sideways. And as they're like in the multiverse, this might be spoilers for the Secret Wars movies. So here you go. So the incursions are happening. You know, universes are crashing into each other, getting destroyed left and right. And Doom, like, he usurps the powers of the Beyonders to stop, because literally his Earth was like the last Earth. And the Ultimate Universe, too. Like, the two of them were about to straight up crash into each other. So Doom, using Doctor Strange and the Molecule Man. Now, Molecule Man, one of the most powerful characters, but also one of the stupidest characters. I'm not talking about, like, from a character writing standpoint. I'm talking about he's, like, a legit idiot. which is why giving him the most omnipotent power of controlling molecules actually kind of work. Because if I had the power to control molecules...
But you can't. We can't give you that power.
No one can give me that power, because I'm... And do you know what I do?
Destruction.
Do you know what I can be? All right, so essentially, like, right? So, yeah. With the two of them, they end up, like, combining powers. Doom's able to get the powers of the Beyonder again. Well, actually, the entire race of Beyonders. And uses it to essentially combine like the destroyed multiverse and puts them all in one world called Battle World, essentially like combining like different worlds together, and he's now God Emperor Doom. And with that, like, of course, he has Sue Richards now as his wife. He got Franklin and Valeria Richards as his children. And probably one of the biggest moments in there is where Thanos tries to pull up on God Emperor Doom. And Dan's like, hey, you a pretender, my guy. You a weak. I'm big Dan. And then Doom's like, oh, you got an Infinity Gauntlet with you, my boy? He's like, nah, because I'm Big Thanos. And no one can mess with Big Thanos. Have you seen Avengers Endgame? And then he shows like, yeah, I saw Endgame. And I remember what happened to you. Bam! Rips his spine out along with his skull.
Whoa.
Just one shot Thanos immediately.
Dang.
Like, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, you didn't need the Infinity Gauntlet? That appears untrue.
So I think so. Doomsday might potentially set up for either the Secret Wars, or we have another storyline with, you know, that where it gets infamous. Where it directly ties to Tony Stark.
Absolutely. But yeah, so essentially, like, with that, he has the powers. But then, of course, Reed Richards, he's like, nah, Doom can't be having these powers, which makes me think, like, hold on, is Doom kind of onto something? Like, is Reed actually an op? Because he'd be spiteful to Doom for, like, yo, Doom literally just fixed y'all entire multiverse. He kept y'all alive.
He took my wife and children.
You're right. My bad. I forget. I immediately forgot about that part. Whoops. Yep. So Reed fights Doom, and he's able to, like, they're able to restore the multiverse, and Reed ends up using the Beyonder's powers to fully fix Doom's face.
Dang.
Yeah, because even when he was God Emperor Doom, he couldn't fix his own face. Or rather, he chose not to do it subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so he manages to fix Doom's face, and now, and he's like, hey, you got a clean slate now, Doom. Do with that what you will.
Do you? Oh. I was just going to ask, do you think that Doom has the second most noticeable, like, villain getup, costume, like, look to him, presentation, if you will? Because I feel like obviously number one has to be Joker, But I feel like number two would be Doom. Like, his mask is almost everywhere. We had a rapper again, MF Doom, who, yep, like, wore that mask and everything. I can't really think of someone else that, as a villain, that, like, presents themselves in such a way. Because, like, even, you know, with the Goblin, he's, like, sometimes the Goblin, sometimes Green Goblin. We've seen different incarnations of it. But with Doom, we always, you know, the mask is iconic. And then just, like, the green robe cloak that goes over it.
Oh, yeah, I definitely would agree with you there. Like, Doom is, again, one of the most recognizable villains out there. Like, you just see his image, you know that's Doom. Like, even when certain movies get him messed up in terms of appearance, you can still kind of see Doom in there.
Yeah.
With the exception of one movie we don't talk about it. Because that wasn't Doom. That was not Doom, but
it was Doom from the start, but it wasn't Doom.
Nah, that was Doom from Wish.com. But yeah, so now he's back, and this is where some infamous Iron Manning comes in. So essentially, like, Doom's back. He's like, he's just chilling in Latveria, and he actually, like, saves Tony Stark from a couple of his villains. And he's like, hey, Stark, like, I turned over a new leaf, but I'm just chilling. And then he sees, like, one of the villains is, like, a demon. And he's like, okay, or is possessed by a demon. He's like, hey, Stark, let me handle this. I got you. And he's like, bam. All right. So, and
just for context, is this around the time after the second superhero Civil War?
This was right before.
Okay.
This is like maybe weeks before, because once Civil War II happens and the entire world goes into tizzy and Tony Stark's basically dead, Doom actually ends up having a change of heart. And it's actually probably one of the greatest speeches of all time, hold on, let me actually pull it up again. All right, so now ends up a new moment, because once Civil War II hits, like, Stark's basically dead, and Doom ends up having an epiphany, and he says probably one of the biggest bars ever. Like, I need to just quote this verbatim straight out of Infamous Iron Man. He says, and I quote, "I was God, and yet I was unchanged. I was not one with the universe. I was not content. I have pushed myself for this for so much of my life, only to discover it was a fool's quest. So I fell back to Earth, forced to confront my true self, to rethink my purpose in this life. And it was then that a sudden and simple notion struck me. It knocked me to my knees. If the selfish act of ultimate power was not my calling, then maybe the opposite could be true."
Jeez, that's deep. So this is kind of like his superior Spider-Man moment, in a sense.
Yes, because at this moment, like, again, Stark is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, like, there's, like, Riri Williams, who's effectively running around as Ironheart, and, like, nobody is cool with him, like, wanting to be, because he just wants to take up, like, Stark's legacy and be the new Iron Man, but nobody is buying it. Nobody wants him to do it, but he does so anyways. Like, he says, forget everybody else. I'm going to be a hero. And he does precisely that. Like, he's able to, like, fight off, like, a bunch of his old villains, convince them, like, hey, give up this life. Of course, some of them don't actually, you know, give up the life, but...
Right.
But he forms, like, a relationship with a doctor. He joins the Avengers in fighting some threats. Like, and he ends up fighting Mephisto with Doctor Strange again. And he gets banished back to hell. But yeah, like, he was a good guy. Keyword being was.
As always, we have to reset, you know, back to what we are.
Yeah, it's the status quo. Is actually God in this scenario. So here's what happened. So there's this villain called the Hood, and the Hood, like, he actually has, like, a demonic hood that allows him, like, transport himself and like whatever he wants inside the hood.
So Cloak, basically.
Basically, yeah, he's basically Cloak from Cloak and Dagger, but he's a villain. And one of the things he has inside of his hood is a demon. And Infamous Iron Man, he's fighting the demon, and the demon burns his face.
Whew.
I'm like, bruh, Victor can't catch a break.
And this is after, keeping with continuity, this is after Richards fixed his face, right?
Yes.
Dang.
As of Infamous Iron Man, he had his full face. Whew. And he had it for probably all of 10 minutes before getting it burned back off.
They said we need to sell these comics with Doom.
Well, you could have just kept Doom in the mask and just like, but no. So essentially, like, what happens after that is, like, essentially he goes in. He's basically like really, you know, he's really salty about like everything that's happened. And of course, like, Tony Stark's back. I believe the Fantastic Four is back by this point. And essentially, he just decided, and like, oh yeah, like Latveria is basically going through some turmoil, going through a mini civil war.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen like Justice League Unlimited, think of like when Apocalypse was going through that civil war because Darkseid was gone, you know, like a power vacuum, yeah, and all that. And like essentially, one of his servants is like, "Hey, you should go back out there as Doctor Doom, so you can bring peace back to our people. Like, the mask gives you power." Okay. He's like, fine. So he puts his mask back on, returns to his role as Dr. Doom, and the Civil War ends immediately.
But pull up.
Like, literally, he just pulls up on the battlefield. Like, Doom has returned, and everyone just gets back to glazing.
Sounds about right. So that's the return of Doom, essentially.
Yeah, essentially. But and yeah, and like this is basically where like we're approaching like current day mm-hmm. storyline. So like for one story, like essentially like he ends up like killing some insurgents who are like trying to assassinate him. There's a one storyline where he essentially he meets like an alternate universe version of himself that manages to achieve world peace. And when Doom asks, like, how did you achieve this? He said, it's simple. I let go of my ego and my hatred for Reed Richards, to which our Dr. Doom kills that Doom and blows up the earth, that earth.
He was like, nah, fam.
Nah, this beef runs forever.
They said we own the next Netflix season of beef.
I'm telling you, Doom is Doom, all right? Doom does what Doom wants. And, oh, now here it... Oh, yeah, and then, of course, he ties into the King in Black a little bit.
Yeah.
Where essentially, like, Iron Man is, like, really butthurt over the fact that Eddie Brock dies. And Doom is like, oh, I see you got some symbiote armor there. Man, I want some of that, my boy. But why you out here being sad over the fact that you got Eddie Brock killed? Is it because you got him killed, or is it because of the fact that you thought you could save him? It's crazy. Get your act together, Stark, as we deal with this null possessed Santa Claus.
That was a crazy storyline.
It was hilarious. And then Doom's like, I wonder, is Santa Claus actually real?
Sorcerer Supreme Claus.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's like, is he a Sorcerer Supreme, actually? I don't know. But yeah, and then of course, the story arc I told you about that yep. The people need to hear. All right. So essentially, in one story arc of the new Fantastic Four run, Dr. Doom wanted a bride and wanted a queen. So he asked, like, his servant named Victorious to, you know, be his bride. And she, you know, she accepts. Of course, we get to the wedding day. And due to Latverian customs, for him to, like, be wed and be married as the King of Latveria, he has to essentially make amends and right all the wrongs that he's done to certain people. So obviously he calls the Fantastic Four to come up to his wedding so he could, you know, make amends with him. He calls the Black Panther. He calls up Namor the Submariner to, you know, be there. Reed Richards is literally his best man. Of course the Fantastic Four is like, yo, it's like, he don't like, they sus of this man. And but then they're like, hey, if this is actually true and we get to start over with Victor and like he can like give up his villainous ways, man, it's worth it being up here. So literally literally at that time, Doom's like, hey, research and development team, hey, cancel all the Fantastic Four Destroyer projects. They're like, but sir, we're like 99% done. Nah, cancel it right now. All right. And we get to the wedding day. Everything is going fantastically, pun fully intended. And of course, like when asked, like, hey, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? He's like, I do. And then he asks her the same question. And then she's like, hold on, my lord, I need to be honest with you before we wed. I've been intimate with Johnny Storm. When I tell you that the look on Doom's face says it all, like Doom is wearing a mask and the look on his eyes said it all. Now, this is crazy because the priest is shocked. Black Panther, T'Challa is shocked. Namor laughing his butt off. And Sue, Reed, and Ben are all pissed at Johnny to the point where Reed literally slaps Johnny in the face. And from that moment, probably leads to the greatest get back of all time. The greatest crash out moment from Doom history, in my opinion, because he immediately gets to start trying to kill Johnny Storm. And of course, the rest of the superheroes are not like that. They're trying to save him and try to keep him safe. But nah, Doom is like, nah, research and development, y'all still got them projects? Unleash them. Unleash them right now. And he's like, wait, what about the millions of people who are watching this wedding? Oh, them? Yeah, I cut the feed off minutes ago. It was a 2-minute delay. I cut it off right at that moment. And what's happened here? Man, a terrorist attack end up killing everybody here. That's crazy. It's such a shame. But my people will prosper. I'll blame some other terrorist organization. But y'all gotta go. No, Johnny gotta go today. And at the end of the fight, like, he shoots Johnny with special cosmic rays. And he's like, and Johnny's like, flame on. But he's like, yeah, Johnny, flame on, all right. Because now you're in pain. Why? Because now you can't flame off. And now you can never know what it feels like to touch a person ever again.
Dang.
And then what he did with his former bride, because his bride is also like his like top lieutenant in his army. So like she's like really strong. And she's like, and he's like, listen, I never want to see your face again. You understand? And then she's like, yes, my lord. Next time you see her, she's wearing like a Doom shaped face mask covering her face while serving under him.
Dang.
Greatest crash out moment.
Get back of the century. So Johnny better talk to Rogue.
Man, I don't even think that'll help.
All right, so is this the final storyline, or is like Doom Supreme where you want to wrap up at?
Yep, I want to wrap up with Doom Supreme since that's the most recent thing that's happening right now. So essentially, this is during the Blood Hunt, which is a Blade Center event where in which you know, Blade gets possessed by an ancient vampire. All the vampires are running roughshod upon all of Marvel. But essentially, Strange's students all go to Doom, and Strange, they're like, hey, we need like your magical abilities, like help us in like freeing the sun from the magic of the vampire king. And he's like, okay, I can do that, but I do need the power of being Sorcerer Supreme in order to do it. So he temporarily gets the powers of Sorcerer Supreme. He casts the spell that pretty much allows the sun to come back out, defeating most of the vampires, because essentially, like, the vampires get purified and essentially they're now able to walk the earth and walk in sunlight. But then he's like, hold on. See, I told y'all I would only be a temporary Sorcerer Supreme, but I never said when I was giving them powers back. And I told you guys, I'm a man of my word. So here's what I'm going to do. I will relinquish the powers of Sorcerer Supreme when I bring peace to the world. And then he announces it to the entire world, like, welcome to a new day, for you have a new Sorcerer Supreme. All hail Doom.
Sounds about right.
Right? All hail Doom. Good Lord.
So I think that's just, like, very interesting. We basically covered 60 years of just, like, Doom history, and probably just only really scratched the surface of it, to be honest with you. But just kind of like that setup going into the Doomsday event, I do wonder if they will kill him off or if they'll keep him until Secret Wars. Obviously, because then you also have the Fantastic Four. Probably not going to show up in that movie. Might make a cameo at the end just to get us all hype. But I feel like Doom is a character that you can obviously just, like, keep around for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he is one of those villains that has major longevity. Like, he is a villain where, like, you just can't help but not to see him chew the scenery.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is a character. So, yeah. And he's, like, a super popular one, too.
Yeah, so it's definitely going to be interesting just with that. Anything else you want to cover before we wrap up with Doom?
I mean, just the fact, like, hey, also, like, one of, like, the biggest quirks of, like, Doom is the fact that he speaks in third person.
Yeah.
Like, Doom is, like, Doom, like, he rarely speaks in the first person, and when he does, it's only, like, I am Doom.
With the Venom storyline, where it's just, like, you know, where he's already the King in Black, and he has, like, that interaction with Doom, it's so funny. I was rolling.
Mm-hmm. And... oh, yeah, and then there's, like, a time where he, like, basically, like, was facing judgment from a Celestial, and the Celestial said, like, oh, yeah, just say that Richards is smarter than you. And then Doom just laughs the entire time, and he said, nah, only Doom can pass Doom. And then that just lets the Celestial be like, you know what? You pass.
Insanity. So, yeah, it's definitely interesting. So as we kind of progress through the masked character series with that. So next week, as we mentioned, we're going to cover Darth Vader. The week after, we're going to cover Obito Uchiha. Also, Toby, aka fake Madara Uchiha, who kind of, like, carried portions of the show through Naruto. So with that, we're going to get into our what's hot. So that's what's cool in anime, TV shows, movies, video games, and the like. So what you got?
All right. So in the realm of anime, One Piece, again, gearing up for the hiatus, if you will. We also got Blue Lock. We now got the U20 team. Woo!
I didn't see yesterday's episode yet, so lock it.
Yeah, you better lock in. Just know that the team has been selected. We also got Bleach Thousand Year Blood War.
Our goat is back.
Grind. He has my glorious king has returned.
We got the chair. We got you know who came back. Oh my gosh,
man. When Aizen just was, like, pulled up, he's like, "Sup, Rukia?" And they were ready to pounce on him immediately. I'm just here like, y'all don't want this.
And he's like, y'all trying to hit this stuff with a sword? Just use your spiritual pressure.
It's like, oh, why y'all here being big? Big sissies right now. Let me show you how it's done. And he's like, hey, I can take down the entire Royal Palace for you right now.
And then that end part, oh my gosh.
Like, open up. Dragon Ball Daima. Beautiful. Grandma Dima beautiful. Also, they unleash a new type of fusion where if you eat bugs, you get to temporarily fuse. So I'm like, I wonder who gonna fuse in this show. It's gonna be my glorious Goku and Vegeta. Gonna be a third type of fusion that's gonna be add to the Gogeta Vegeta rage. Are the Vegeta and Gogeta fans, they're gonna unite against the one? Actually, that's probably what's likely gonna happen, I'm not gonna lie. So yeah, there's that. And in the realm of TV, Agatha All Along has finished up. Which is kind of interesting because like I didn't know like I was behind an episode. So like I was like, okay, this is actually kind of like an interesting finale, like episode 8. And then it turns out there was an extra episode after that. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I've only watched the first episode so far last week because I was like, I'm going to binge it. So I think I'm going to binge it like this week and just kind of knock it out since I've heard really good things about it.
Yep, yep. It's actually a legit one.
I saw the first episode when she came back from her delusion. I was dying. I was like, you got away with this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So they released like a lineup for like their different Marvel shows and projects. So we got a trailer for Daredevil Born Again.
Yes.
It's looking fantastic, looking beautiful. I need it expeditiously. But unfortunately, I got to wait till March, but it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Ironheart, they released some footage of that. You know,
we're just talking about it too.
Mm-hmm. Her suit looking a little bit better than the...
Well, that made sense. Like the first Iron Man suit was clunky piece of mess, so... You know, mm-hmm. And each movie brought a different version of it that was upgraded. So,
yep. There's also a Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
Wonder Man.
Yep. And then there's Wonder Man with our boy in there. Candy Man himself. Oh, wait, not Tony Todd.
Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. Dr. Manhattan. Yeah. So moving on with that, of course, Terrifier 3 in the movie theaters. Also, I've been seeing so much stuff on Wicked. So Wicked is coming out, as well as Gladiator 2. Prepare yourselves.
I heard Denzel, he did his thing in this movie. It's no surprise, but I heard he went off in this movie.
And so, in other words, so in other news, water is wet. All right, so... Yeah, so keeping it going. The news, water's wet. Denzel did his thing. And comic books, Venom War is still happening right now. And Spawn is still spawning.
All right, so with that, going to Netflix, I know Arcane Season 2 drops, I believe it's November 9th. It's literally within the next week. So Season 2, the final season. Squid Game dropped a full trailer finally for season 7. Depression is Among Us. This season might be, I don't know if it could be more depressing than season 1 because like especially episode 6 of season 1 hit us in ways that have never been hit before. But I think with season 2, just like his desperation to try to get people to flee and just knowing that like money always, is that motivating factor, which they covered in the first one where it was like, oh, you can go home. And all the people literally came back. But season 2 drops in December. I can't remember if it's a part 1, part 2, but I know it's like a season 2. And then the season 3 is the final season of Squid Game. Overlord has a movie dropping in November. I can't remember. It's sometime within the next 2 weeks. And then just with a video game that I've been waiting for years, Dragon Age The Veilguard released October 31st. So I will be playing that eventually. So I got to get back into that realm.
Yeah, sorry. I'm stuck in Sparking Zero. So
it'll be
forever. So forever, I am stuck in Sparking Zero.
All right.
You ain't getting me off.
So let's get the plug. Get up out here. You can get back on that work. Oh, and also the Penguin. Oh, boy. Our prediction from last week was right when we said people were in trouble.
All right, so our prediction for this week is...
We haven't watched it yet. We got 2 more hours before it drops.
Somebody's getting clapped. We know who is going to be.
It's over.
We know who is going to be. All I have to say is When he said it gets easier, I got scared.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So let's plug and get up out of here.
All right. So we got Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter, and Threads account under BlurredCity22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date with all notifications. We have a Discord, LinkedIn, said Instagram page if you want to join a team of just pure degeneracy. We also have our YouTube and Patreon, the Blurred City Pod. If you want to donate some extra chatter to us, you get access to very exclusive episodes never before seen. After that, right, we have our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. If you want to send us like episode suggestions and like, you know, episode suggestions, as well as fan theories, as well as geek out, freak out, and even just, you know, your own commentary on like how you feel about Dr. Doom, go ahead and let us know in the emails. And if you send any spam or hate mail, then it'll get sent to the spam box, never see the light of day. Finally, I am the Jedi born on Mustafar on Instagram and TikTok, however long we got those platforms left. So what you got?
All right. For my individual author pages, we have my Instagram, Mitri_dash. That is Mitri_dash. For my X/Twitter, that is @TheMad-16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, that is available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. So like we mentioned, we will be doing Darth Vader character study next week as part of this character study series. So check that out. We have a special guest. Look forward to it. So with that, words of encouragement.
Well, stick true to your guns. Just know that, hey, sometimes you just got to take action and just have that generational crash out moment. But above all else, we are doomed.
All right. So with that, like we always say, it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.